This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm going to ask you to come with me on a journey again, just or even at least think that you're going in this time machine.
نعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله كريم. We start by praising Allah and bestowing peace and blessings upon the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who indeed we take all of our examples from. I want today to reflect upon the world that we currently live in. And most notably, the world being the world around us, Birmingham, the UK, the United Kingdom, Great Britain, of which we are a part. We are members of this nation. If one reflects on what dawah is all about, surely one should first be knowing what is wrong with the society so you can address those issues and come with plausible solutions to stop those problems occurring. We need, in this 21st century, a new dawah, an activism, the dawah of activism, or the activism of dawah. Today, in this society, we see, particularly when it comes to women and children, great oppression. It's not an exaggeration to say we're living in the middle of a broken society. We had communism. It failed the world. We had, and we still have, capitalist economic systems, liberalism, social democracies. We have all of this in the world today, and it is failing the world. It's failing the people. It's failing the most poor. It's failing the most vulnerable people in our society. I'm going to call all of you, including myself, to a new way, a revolution. It is all about changing the world through dawah. It's about changing lives. It's about changing communities, changing expectations. We had a period in our history of more than 1,000 years where vast swathes of this world were controlled by the laws of Allah and not man-made laws. When man-made laws come, they destroy society and they imprison people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Quran is followed to the dot, to the words, and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is observed and implemented in actions, in thoughts, in speech, in trade, in character, we have a chance to bring this broken society back to some fruition, back to some level of success. I want to talk to you just to give you some encouragement. And it's also like a big slap on the face for all of us. And it is on the face. There was a man who lived. He was born in 1856 in Liverpool. And in 1889, he established what was essentially Britain's first Islamic center. He was, like myself, a revert. He was a solicitor by trade. And he was a very caring person. He was a person that if this person, like we see so many of these type of people outside, that if they accepted Islam, they could be a real tour de force. This person was none other than Henry William Abdullah Quilliam. And you think that this name, Quilliam, is associated with another group, don't you? But you're wrong. Because I just can't believe how somebody can take the name Quilliam and destroy it overnight. But if you look into the life of this man, if you look into the works of this man, after he took the Shahada, truly it is an example for many of us in this room today. For example, amongst all of the things that he achieved, hundreds, of course, of reverts resulted from the work that he implemented. He was recognized by the Sultan of Morocco, the Shah of Persia, and the Sultan of Afghanistan. In fact, the Afghanistani Sultan gave him a gift of £2,500 to set up the masjid in Liverpool. How things change. He held lectures on Islam in Liverpool. He had two publications, The Crescent and The Islamic Review. He had weekly Islamic debates with senior professionals, scientists, etc. And by the end of all of this, of course, many of the scientists embraced Islam, and the professionals that he was talking to embraced Islam, including his mother, who was actually a Christian missionary for many years, and his son. He opened and he instituted a place called Medina Home for illegitimate children. And in Liverpool at that time, there were many illegitimate children, and the state wouldn't recognize them and deal with them. So he used to take them on board under his wing, and he used to look after those people. And he used to find homes for those children, and he would sort them out legally. He also had a Muslim college, as I say, a weekly debating society. He wrote Muslim nasheeds, and he used to play these nasheeds every Sunday to all the people in the locality. So instead of them going to church, he used to call them to listen to these nasheeds. And these nasheeds, of course, were all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Do you like my beatbox? Well, check out this box. It's a much better box. Do you know why? Because it's a box of guidance, brothers and sisters. Allah says in the Quran, "Udu'u ila sabili rabbika," call to the way of your Lord. And what better way in giving someone not a beatbox, but a dawah box?
They were all based upon Tawheed. He also published a book, The Faith of Islam, and it was translated and sent around the world to 13 different languages. Queen Victoria read this book. He actually opened the masjid. Now, this is incredible. Now, think about where you are in Birmingham, and think about how many masjids would even think about doing this. He opened the masjid on Christmas Day, and his gift to the children, the poverty-stricken children of Liverpool, was he invited them to a free meal that day to enlighten them, to give them some barakah, to give them some blessing. Can you imagine us today opening a masjid and inviting the poorest people in the UK to attend the opening of that masjid? I don't think it's going to happen. And this is surely the difference between us and a person like Abdullah Quilliam. His whole rhetoric, his whole thought process was, how can I implement the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam here in Liverpool in the year 1889? 120 years later, where are we, brothers and sisters? Where is Medina? Where is the Medina house? Where are the debating circles? Where are all of these things that I have mentioned? Where are we, mu'min, Muslims, who loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than he loves himself? Why don't we demonstrate that we have that love? Why? All of this comes down, really essentially, my brothers and sisters, and this example I've read to you, if we compare the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his determination sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make sure this message went out to the world regardless of race, color, cultural creeds, and compared to the 120 years we've been here since Abdullah Quilliam was there, and in 1908 he had to leave the country, and you compare it to the time that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indulged in the da'wah, and from the day he received wahi to the day he died, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had achieved that the message had gone from ocean to ocean, from China to Portugal, and we can't even do it in an island, a tiny little insignificant island, who this geography of this country, you can go from the furthest point to the furthest point in one day easily. And then the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not have internet. The Sahaba Ikram, they did not have internet or mobile phones. They didn't have satellite television. They didn't even have postal service. So what does this, where does it put us? In the eyes of Allah, where does it put us, my brothers and sisters? I'm reprimanding myself because I have more to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, because I am from these islands and I should have been doing it 10 years ago. It was only when I met Abdurrahim Green outside his house in Clapham, after attending one of his circles, which is the only thing I used to do, was just attend one circle a week, which I thought was enough. And he came to me and he said, "Yusuf, what are you doing for the da'wah? What are you doing for your akhirah? What are you doing for the British people to explain to them their religion?" I said, "Look, I'm bringing my children up and I'm looking after my wife and I attend your weekly circle. That's enough." He said, "It's not enough. You need to fear Allah. If that is you, my brothers, and if that is you, my sisters, this is what you're doing. I'm telling you the same thing. He gave me the message, I'm going to give you the message. It is not enough in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah resurrects us on the day of judgment, on the day of reckoning, when we are standing next to people that we thought we knew but we don't recognize them now because we're so worried about the things we didn't do and the things that we did which were wrong. When this person who was our neighbor in Birmingham, or our work colleague in Birmingham for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving reckoning to you, and then next, this is the person you never gave dawah to. And what will this person say? Oh Allah, I plead with you that I live next door to Ahmed, next door to Sumaya, next door to this one and that one, and they never said anything about what you are telling me about now. What will be your condition, my brothers and sisters? What will be my condition? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us fulfill the obligation of the individual, obligation of giving da'wah. Not just to learn the verse and keep it behind your backs. I'll just remind you, there was one meeting I had about 4 months ago. And it was a very decent man. He was a good man as far as I knew. And I went through the meeting with him. He was of Jewish origin. He was a consultant. And I was consulting him about the free schools. I was going to put free school applications in everywhere and try and save some of the sisters and the brothers from the torment of having to be taught by people who don't believe in Allah. And at the end of the meeting, I said to the brother, the Jewish brother, I said to him, are you a believer? Because I was shocked at the things that he was prepared to do. He was telling me, creationism, the belief that Allah is the creator, don't discuss it in the school. When you are in the school, you have to accept that it's going to be free mixing. You have to accept this. You have to not discuss issues of Islam in the science lab. At the end of it, that's why I asked him, are you a believer? And he said, yes, I'm a believer. I said, wow, I don't want to be a believer like you then. I don't want to be a believer because I cannot lie to Allah. If someone says to me, teach science, I'm going to tell him the truth about science. I'm not going to stand cowering behind some guy financier because he's giving the money. I'd rather not take the money. Wouldn't you? Are you going to stand principled? Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was principled. He had such beauty in his principles. He never left his principles, and that's why he is the spiritual guide of all of us. So my brothers and sisters, let us try to remain principled if we can, and let us try to establish the truth amongst our neighbors, the truth amongst our colleagues at work. If you want to do this, and I'm sure that Abdul Rahim will follow me and he will again remind you how to do this, come to the Dawah training sessions in Birmingham. I know for a fact that Sheikh Zahir will be holding some things with Sheikh Zahir in Birmingham. We're going to be doing Dawah training sessions here in Birmingham. And we want all of you that came with your money today, which was so blessed and so beautiful to see. Because some people were telling us, Birmingham, you'll never get 30,000. I said, no. I don't believe that. Alhamdulillah, you brothers and sisters, you proved us right. We didn't believe it, and we've seen it today. Birmingham has been the most successful fundraiser we've ever done, and we've been around for the last 2 years. And I've never seen such a fundraiser myself. So Birmingham, we feel proud of you. We feel, once again, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless Birmingham and bless the Ummah in Birmingham and let them give dawah to their neighbors, their friends, their colleagues, and their enemies. Akulu subhanakulu subhanak astaghfirullah. Sorry, just feeling very emotional. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you and thank you very much for coming and please come to the dawah training and jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum. وجهتنا غار قالوا العمى فقد النظر قلت البصيرة للبصر قالوا المحبة نقمة لا خير منها
ينتظر وإن استمرت لا تدوم كبيت رمل في المطر.